Hallelujah. Well, go ahead and open up to Romans 14 again. I want to look at this one verse, and then I want to look at two others tonight. This is really quite a chapter. The fact that God's got us in Romans 14, or got me in Romans 14, 15, he's finally growing us up a little bit, I think. Because this, really, Romans 14, 15, 16 is talking about getting to the place where you don't judge your brother. And yet at the same time remain totally free. See, the worst sin of all is pride. And what happens with us in the early days, we start getting free and we're proud that we're free. I'm getting a few honest hands in the back. And when, I remember when I found out I could eat pork. I mean, the hammer of God came down on anybody that tried to tell me otherwise. You better not. Or like a Seventh-day Adventist. I've been pretty rough on the Seventh-day Adventists, and they're pretty rough on us, too. They say that the mark of the beast, when you take the mark, is when you quit worshiping God on Saturday. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll send you to hell and everything. They're pretty rough on us. Well, I've been pretty rough right back. Yet here in this chapter, he says, why do you judge somebody because they choose to worship God on a special day? And I'm going, I don't know. They were judging me, God. Sound like little kids, doesn't it? So let's start off with the verse that we started off with this morning. It says, that's Romans 14, 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And in the context, what he's saying here is, in fact, start in verse 14 for the context a little bit. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. In other places, he gets even more specific when he says, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it's received with prayer and thanksgiving. Remember that, for it is sanctified by the word of God, set apart for your use. So he's plainly saying, we are not still under the dietary laws given by Moses in the Old Covenant. We're not under that. He's saying here, nothing, no food is unclean of itself. But now notice, to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, not in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. And in that context, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'll be honest with you, there's been swells and, like on a sea, there's been times my righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost has been at higher tide than other times. Those are great times. Man, when I know that I am the righteousness of God, I like to say it this way, I am his favorite. I don't care what you think. And my heart is full of peace no matter what's going on around me. There is a peace that is not of this world. Have you all ever tasted it? If you haven't, if you ever taste of it, you've got to have it again. There is a peace that you can walk in that is not based on your circumstances. And then there's been times when my joy, just knowing I'm on my way to heaven. See, again, Sue and I are not those kind of people that thought that we didn't need to be saved. We knew we were going to hell, okay? We knew. And the joy, it's still 32 years later, it just wells up in me when I think of what he has already done for me. That joy in the Holy Ghost. Boy, those are good times. Do you know the devil does everything he can to keep you from living there? He's trying to get you to think you're a slime and a dog and a worm and you're anything but righteous, and get you, like Mark chapter 4, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, get your mind out of peace and running all over everything, trying to solve every problem yourself and doing all of those things. And joy, are you kidding? Barely have enough joyness, is that a word, joyness? Barely have enough to even make it to church. Much less God use you any other way, during the week. But he has called us. This is you want to breathe the pure air of God, the pure air of heaven? It is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. But I do want to back up a little bit in this chapter for the maturity that he's bringing us to. So let's really back up. I tell you, to do justice, you got to go to Romans 1, but we're not going to do that tonight. But back up to verse 8 of chapter 13. We're going to go that far. He hasn't changed the subject at all here. Normally, we only read this verse 8 in financial conferences, and there is a little bit of financial to it, but that's not really the subject. It says, well, it is a little bit. He said, because in the previous verse, he says, see, I told you, Romans 1, previous verse, yeah. Look at verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. It's talking about finances. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now, owe no man anything. It is good to stay out of debt. Okay? It is good. And we're to owe no man anything. But there's one debt. See, you can loan me, you know, that pocket change, you know, $50,000. He might owe it to, you know, it's sure Gary here, I, you know. But eventually my debt would be paid, and in that arena, I don't owe anymore. But see, there's because of what Jesus did for us, there's a debt that we can never pay, and that's love. The love of God through me, till we both wind up in heaven. And even then, we're to love one another. Isn't that right? Okay. So the debt that can't be repaid, that you'll never... We're going to always owe every person love. Love is what rescued us. Love is what rescues them. So owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. And he's been really taking me all the way back to Genesis to really understand this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to be honest, is a type of the law. It was soul food. So it was food for the soul. Well, it was. But that's not how God intended for man to live. He says, no, I don't want you to live that way, having to decide good and evil out of your soul. It three times in two consecutive verses, Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, it tells you plainly, Adam was made, man was made in the image of God. What is the image of God? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells you, Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. Then I saw that little vision where it was the second member of the Godhead, the pre-incarnate Christ that was holding that lifeless body of Adam. And it was him before we knew him as Jesus. But at the time he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. No, not one single thing. And I understood. It was the pre-incarnate Christ, and he breathed the breath of life, it says, into Adam, and he became a living soul. He was not breathing oxygen into Adam. It says he was breathing life. John said it this way, we have seen that life which we have seen, we have heard, we have handled. Talking about Jesus, manifest among us. It's him, that life that we declare unto you. That life was breathed into Adam. And I understood, Adam, God's original plan for mankind, the type of people he wanted, was that all of us start our life made in the image of the Son. God. No wonder it says in Romans 8 that his purpose now is that all of us be conformed to the image of the firstborn. That's what it is. He's conforming us. God's not a quitter. And even after thousands of years, he is still reshaping and remolding us to conform and walk in the image of the Son. Well, in that image, with that nature of the Son, comes the knowledge of God. God is those things. God never changes. When did God ever lie? It's impossible, it says. It's impossible for God to lie. Does God commit adultery? Does God covet? That's his nature. You could take the Ten Commandments virtually. They are who God is. That's who he is. He doesn't lie. And that's the nature that's in you. And when you get born again, you know it. You have that knowledge of God. It's wrong to lie. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. And here, but see, ultimately, it doesn't say, nowhere does it say God is the Ten Commandments. What does it say? God is love. Look at here. Look at here. Look at verse 9. Well, verse 8 again. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See, Cain would never have slain Abel if he had that love nature, if he were really walking in that love nature. Anyway, you can tell where my meditator is. I'm still back in Genesis. But for this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Does this not sound like the Ten Commandments? And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because, see, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Well, God is love. It plainly tells you, if you love, you don't do these things. This is the nature that God always intended for man to live by, his nature, and not by an external law functioning through the soul. No, we're to function from the heart. Love is an issue of the heart, not really the soul. You know, men and women, I guess, can testify to that. I love him. He's no good, but I love him. Anyway, we could go there. He'll never work. I love him. 10 years later, found out he never worked. Anyway. But love is an issue of the heart. You can't reason out love, you know. So, let's see. Let's go ahead. Let's keep reading here. Verse 10 again, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of slumber, out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that salvation, he's not saying they're not born again. He's talking about the end of all things. The time, one day this is all going to come to an end. There's going to be, you know, the rest of the dispensations. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on, I love this, the armor of light. Whew, what a phrase, the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Does that remind you of any other passages that we've studied on at length? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just look at it real quick. Let me put a marker right here. Go over to Ephesians 4 just for a moment. It's almost the same wording. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now we could go to, this isn't the only place that he says this. We could go to, there. Can you see that how you do that is the renewing of the mind? How do you put off the old man and put on the new? It's not a regeneration of your spirit. That has already been done. It's the renewing of the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which in the King James it says, which after God, that really means in the image of God, your new man is created in the image of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're right back to the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. But our minds have to be renewed to that. If we don't, I'm telling you, everything in this world is designed to renew your mind to the opposite of that. You'll spend your whole life like the hamster in the wheel. Okay. Well, you will. You know, hey, cheese. I got to go get the cheese, you know. You'll spend your whole life. Trust me, I'm 65 now. These decades go by quick. I got that little notice in the mail this year. Looked like a birthday card from Uncle Sam. It's about the size of a birthday card. I said, huh, what's this? Uncle Sam loves me. Sent me a card. I opened it up and it says, welcome to Medicare. What? They made a mistake. I'm only, oh my God, I'm 65. How did this happen? Sue, who is responsible for this? Didn't we just graduate high school last week? What's going on here? 65. Well, that's what. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Decades go by quick. I'm telling you. Do it now. And here we are again. I see the image. It's not really me. I'll be honest with you. We learn how to follow the Holy Spirit through these services, and you have to follow the images, don't you, Mark? Again, I saw it at my website. This is not the only way, but we have a tool, a new one, that's available at the website, GaryCarpenter.org. You click on media, then you click on, you have to scroll down. When you click on media, it takes you to a list. Scroll down near the bottom, it says printed materials. Click on that, there's a whole list of PDF files. One of those is called the In Him Confessions. It's 26 pages long. Have some paper in your printer when you print it out. But now, there's 130 scriptures there. See, how are you going to renew your mind? You're going to renew it by watching the ABC, NBC, CBS? You're going to renew it by writing books by unbelieving preachers? Sorry to be so blunt. I like talking about God at the coffee shop like anybody else. Yeah, God, yay. But where you get into renewing your mind is going to be renewed with the truth of God's word, or it's not going to be renewed. God is the source of all truth. I'm telling you right now, you are not who you think you are. You are not who you feel like you are. You are not who your circumstances say you are. You are who God says you are. You are, and that's this renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. You got to say it. It's really the faith of Abraham once again. For that miracle to happen, for the change. Now, we're talking here about physical change, that miracle that medical science cannot duplicate to this day. Medical science cannot do it. But Abraham, because he was just willing to say about himself what God said. God says, every time you say who you are, you say, I, Abraham, which means I am the father of a multitude. No evidence. In fact, he had lots of evidence to the opposite. It's like you going through those confessions. I am in Christ. I am a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And you go out to get in your car and it won't even start. And the dishwasher quits. And your cat bites your ankle or something. I'm just trying to... Everything, all the circumstances stay opposite. You kick the cat. I am the love of God. You are who God says you are. And if we ever get God's word in our mouth and it gets in your mouth and in your heart, get it in your mouth first, it will eventually get in your heart. You will have what you say. That's worth the price of admission right there. Hallelujah. But see, let's start in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God in his image is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now see, the first thing that will result from that, I believe, I think that's why this is here next. Wherefore, putting away lying. Why? That's not your nature. Why is it not your nature? It's not your father's nature. At your core, you are not a liar. At your core, God can't lie. Just a double dog dare you to say this. Say this by faith. Say, my God, might say, my father can't lie. Look to somebody. So you have to take accountability. My father cannot lie. And I'm made in his image. I can't lie. Because it would be against my nature. That we have a hard time with that, see, because we know we can. So we keep thinking we won't, you know. And that there's truth to that. But see, at your core, the real you, made in that image, can't lie. Not really. All that lying is done through the soul. Oh, right to the heart, somebody heard. Oh. So is all that worry. I felt the prophet rocks going right over my head. Putting away life. Anyway, let's go back to Romans 13, where we were. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Oh my goodness. So we were just finishing up verse 14 of chapter 13 in Romans. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus. That's the same. How do you do that? The renewing of the mind. In this same book, Romans, you just back up to chapter 12, verse 2, and he tells you, be no more conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. And again, that's one tool. Praying in tongues is a tool. The Holy Ghost will bring what to your soul, it looks like gibberish, but through that language that bypasses the intellect, he will start educating your spirit to spirit. He'll take of Jesus and start showing it unto you, because that's your inheritance. Everything Christ is, his nature, how would you like to think like him? How would you like to not just think like him? How'd you like to have his compassion? That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. More than just knowledge. Literally, our heart becomes his heart, where we see people with the same compassion and love that he sees people. It's good stuff right there. So let's go on now to chapter 14. This is where he's growing me up some. I'm going to have to change a little bit, because we're going to have, in this revival, we're going to have lots of newbies. We're going to have lots of little children get born. He's giving us instruction here about how to handle them. So, him that is weak in the faith, but they're in the faith. Now, you get that? These are newborn children. They're in the faith, but they're weak in the faith. Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things. That one of those. Hey, hallelujah. Just a minute. Let me worship God. I believe I can eat all things. I'm on that side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But another, now notice, who is weak? Well, they eateth only herbs, but if you look that up, it means vegetables. Well, see, and I don't care if you decide to be a vegetarian for health purposes. Where you and I have trouble is when you start telling me that's God's plan, or that's his law. Well, it was, but we're not under that law. But I'll be honest with you, I've been a little harsh, I think, sometimes on people that still believe that. Again, I've got to follow him. You've got to be careful with well-meaning people. If they don't learn how to hook themselves up with the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost as their teacher. I was counseling somebody on the telephone, really just talking about other things. He lives in another state, loves the Dave's ministry for at least 15 years that I know of, maybe longer than that. And I've physically met the man a few times, not very often. But anyway, we got to talking. He was wanting counsel. He says, the church we've been going to, he says, you know, it's not like the prayer center. The prayer center is where we get our main food still, you know, as far as. But, you know, we want our kids to grow up in a church atmosphere. So we've been taking them to this church. We've been to several. And this one was the best we could find. But now, all of a sudden, they're going in this direction of, you know, we really need to honor Israel. How many of you know I believe in honoring Israel? I believe in that. But he says, now they're encouraging our children not to pray unless they're wearing a prayer shawl. I said, run, don't walk away from there. And I reminded him of the church. He'd heard me teach on it before. Another church, a congregation in Dallas, had started doing that. They started out okay, spirit-filled, tongue-talking. But if 2 years down the road, they started actually sacrificing animals. Thinking that's the, you know, there's a deception that you can't go that way. I said, sir, run. Do not. You cannot leave your children to be raised in that kind of environment. And I believe that's what they'll do. But right on the other hand, see, there's a balance here that's you're going to have to be led by the Holy Ghost. If those people would want to be taught, we would gladly receive that congregation here. Here's a place for you. Sit right here. Let us get you praying in other tongues. We don't even have to really correct you. If we can get you praying in other tongues, we can hook you up with the Holy Ghost. We don't have to correct that. The Holy Ghost will correct that. See, how I know that, you guys never heard me teach in the 80s, we're to worship God right now that you never did. Let's worship God that you never heard. I was the worst prosperity teacher you ever heard in your life. All I knew was what I'd been taught. sowing and reaping, cursed if you don't tithe, blessed if you do. I mean, I didn't even have to open my Bible. I could give you all the curses correctly out of Deuteronomy 28 and all the blessings, man. And I told Stu's own sister one time, I said, God himself cannot help you because you don't tithe. Yeah, y'all can't believe that, can you? Yeah. And I still pretty much believed all that. That's about the way I was when we walked through the door of the prayer center. I didn't know any different. All I knew is those guys are supposed to know what they're doing. When I say those guys, the TV preachers, and they're on TV. They got to be right. You know, and I didn't start asking the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I was wrong in that area. I really didn't. I knew my life was a wreck. I knew that. Our life was a train wreck. I knew, I did know this. My wisdom had brought me to destruction, and I knew my way was not working. But I thought my way was God's way. See, that's what's scary. I didn't know any better. See, and I'm an engineer by training. I know how to do experiments. I know how to do laboratory experiments. And the way you do it, if you want to find out something, you leave everything the same, and you change just one variable. You change one thing. Then you see what the end result is. All right? Then you run that test again, and this time you change one other variable. You just change one thing, and you want to see what has an effect. Well, the job that I was in at the time was God had me in the perfect job for a guy that wants to get paid to pray. I listened to Dave, you know, for about 6 months, heard this message. Man, it sounded right to me. I couldn't find anything wrong with it, you know. Sounded right to me. And so I just, all the variable that changed, I mean, I driving trucks, you can't really read your Bible more. You can't have, y'all know you can't be reading your Bible going down the road, right? You know, I mean, those trucks were so, they didn't have radios in them, hardly in it. They didn't have cassette players. And even if they did, they were industrial trucks. They were so loud, and you had to leave the windows open because there's no air conditioning, that you couldn't listen to cassette tapes hardly at all. It wasn't because of teaching. It wasn't because of reading the Bible more. It wasn't because of anything. The only variable that changed was praying in other tongues. Suddenly I could pray. I just started praying and praying and praying. In that job, you're stuck in those trucks 40, 50, 60 hours a week anyway. Lots of praying in other tongues. Now, it's not the kind where you can go off and hole up by yourself, which I love that now, you know. All I had was driving prayer, because truckers only do three things. You drive, you eat, you sleep. That's all you do. Hard to pray while you're sleeping. Hard to pray while you're eating. You know, the only time I had was driving time. The only time I had was driving time. And I didn't even ask to be corrected because I didn't know what was wrong anyway. I didn't know I was wrong. And the Holy Ghost, in his wisdom, little bit, line upon line, here's a little vision, here's a little sentence, here's a little understanding, little by little by little. I was the most amazed person. He himself brought me out of all of that false doctrine. Nobody had to teach it out of me. Most of that I've not heard even taught to this day except through what he taught me. He himself did it. Brought me out of all that stuff. I thank God there are no tapes around for me teaching in the 80s. I thank God. But I do thank God there's lots of teachings since we've heard this message. You know, they go all over everywhere. They surprise me where I find out they go, you know. She was telling me about finding them down in the Philippines one time. They're using them down there. Those boot camps are the same Bible studies that rescued a lot of people here, rescuing people down in the Philippines. It amazes me how God uses all of that. But see, I found out the truth. It's the Holy Ghost. Truly, he is the mentor. That's why we've got to learn to walk in some wisdom towards those that they're in the faith. They're not like sinners. They're in the faith, but they're weak. You know, Seventh-day Adventists, let's go on here, because it talks specific. It doesn't call them by name, but it kind of does. Starting in 14, verse 1 again. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak, he only eats vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or he falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Now here's the Seventh-day Adventist right here. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at nothing thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather. Now here we go. This is Maturityville right here. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now we're to the verse where we started. I know and am persuaded. Verse 13. If they're in the faith, but they're weak. Let's just use the two examples he used. Oh, no, we're still under the dietary laws. Rather than argue with them about that, let's get into a fight now. Doctrine, here we go. And we're all about doctrine here. And God's all about doctrine. But he's also about rescuing the sheep. Rather than get into a dogfight with them to prove our superiority about our knowledge. Oh, I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. There's a lot of people in here. Oh, we're the ones, we have the answers. You're wrong and I'm right. Sounds like little kids. Rather than that, say, brother, I'm glad we're both saved by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you about praying in other tongues. Let me tell you how the Lord has blessed me since I started learning how to receive from the teacher. Have you read Dave's book? You know, if we can receive them long enough, I think about that very church where they're starting to get their children into the prayer shawl thing. What if we could get them praying in the Holy Ghost? You reckon the Holy Ghost could teach them the same way he taught me? Sure he could. He wouldn't leave them like that. We have got the answer if we don't judge them away from our fellowship, which is what we tend to do, you know. Seventh-day Adventist, you reckon God could eventually show them that Jesus is their Sabbath? Jesus is their Sabbath. That's why you're dead if you pick up a stick on the Sabbath day. You can't be saved by your works. That's the whole meaning of the Sabbath. And you could celebrate Jesus as your Sabbath on Monday, Tuesday. We could have church on Thursday. Doesn't matter. But they don't know that yet. How do we know it? Are we something? Well, we received it from the Lord, by the way, of the Holy Ghost. That doesn't make us superior. It should. Yes, hold on, my son. Oh, my. Hold on, my sin de la brestos. I don't even know what it is yet. But it made me jump. I see the picture that Dave talked about years ago. He said, this is very much the image of the church. Remember he talked about lollipop Christians? Have you ever seen those, the kind of lollipop that has the gooey M&M center? You know, real skinny little stick. Big old top. He said, that's the way Christians are, full of head knowledge. And their spirit just as skinny as that stick. Got very little of the love of God walking around. Full of knowledge. You lean this way, you know. Big old head full of knowledge. See, and this is what we tend to do. I'm just going to pick on her because she loves me. I got knowledge. I got knowledge. You're wrong. I got knowledge. You're going to follow me to the love of God? You're wrong. I don't agree with you. Makes her want to follow me, doesn't it? That same love of God. So what God's doing now, it's not that he doesn't want us to have the knowledge. How about we start filling out the Spirit? How about we let the love of God start filling out the rest of us? So that when we walk up, we do have the knowledge of God, but we've got the love of God. You know, sinners follow Jesus by the thousands. Why aren't they filling up the churches? because they don't see enough of Jesus there to follow. That is our calling. That is our calling. Not only the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Yes, that's a drawing card. But if they're going to stay, they're going to stay because of the love of God that they feel here. And that love of God at the same time is not an enabling. It's not a, we're not going to start condoning sin. That same Paul that wrote this chapter is the same Paul that said to the guy who had his father's wife, turn that guy over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. We've got to walk in the knowledge of God. We've got to walk in the love of God. And it's an adult walk. That's the phrase. That's the phrase. He is calling us now to an adult walk, to grow up. Love the children. Good parents. He's calling us now to be more than just children, which, you know, in our heart, we're always supposed to be like, have the attitude of children towards the Lord. But at the same time, we're about to become parents of lots and lots and lots of new children born into the kingdom. And we've got to have real parents in here. Does it take wisdom to raise kids? Are you going to beg for the mercy of God? You know, you need all the help you can get. Amen. Well, we're going to be that same way. He's trying to raise us up now. Raise us up. To walk not only in knowledge, but the heart, that love of God. That's what really causes people to follow him. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. I like this one myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're not going to make it in the context. Let's come on over to chapter 15. I'm having to jump over some stuff. We're just about out of time. In the same vein, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, in plain talk, that tells me, let's say we got a bunch of these veggie persons in here. What I mean is we had a whole group come in from the Church of the Veggies. And they believe you can't go to heaven if you eat meat. Okay? All right? I'm simplifying, but that's basically what it's saying. The Church of the Veggies, you know. And they come in here and I'm going, meat. Barbecue, glory to God, that's what I want, you know. But if I'm the adult and I don't want to run them off or offend them or try and get them to eat something that to them is evil, they've not grown up yet, to them it's sin to eat that. He's saying I, as the adult, needs to bear the infirmities of the weak and we need to go to Salad Alley. Oh, God. Salad Alley. Oh, my God. I've been there once. That's really what he's talking about, though. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. Why? Notice, to edification. To edification. Now, this isn't about them coming to bring us down. This is about them coming for us to help grow them up. But we've got to do it with patience, long-suffering, love. If the only way they can stay at first is they got to see us eating vegetables. Paul said, I have become all things to all men that I might win some. Salad Alley it is until we get you. I'm going to get you praying in the Holy Ghost because he needs to get you out of that deception quick. But look at verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That we may with one mind, oh my God, that the church would ever come here, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now he goes on talking about his calling here and how he was especially called to be a minister to the Gentiles. There's one verse here, verse 13. My time is out, but we have to get to verse 13. Now the God of hope, remember what This morning's service was based on the verse that says, the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. This is a companion verse to that. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope, notice, through the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to find as you search the scriptures that the word hope and the Holy Ghost are combined several places. The reason for that, the Holy Ghost is actually the molecule changer of the three persons of the Godhead. Sue likes to call him, Jesus is the Word, but the Holy Ghost is the enforcer of that Word. What we mean by that, he is the molecule changer. When Jesus said he would even cast out spirits by the finger of God, then in another place on the same subject, he says, I cast out spirits by the Spirit of God. Same thing. The Holy Ghost is the finger. He is the manifester. He is the molecule changer. He is the agent of manifestation of your faith. Did you hear that? Faith, though, is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. He told me years ago as a minister of the gospel, when I go to a new group, not you guys necessarily, the first thing, he says, Gary, son, your job, you have to give the people hope. Without hope, there is no faith. There is nothing for faith. You come to a person and they've beat down to the point, they're in a wheelchair and they've been sick for 10 years and in pain for 10 years and the doctors have given them, and there's no answers and there's no hope, no hope, no hope, and I've got to come with the scriptures. He is the God of all hope. My job is to show them the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead and Jesus from the dead. Oh, there's nothing impossible with God. I have to get hope into them, because without hope, there's nothing for faith to give substance to. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's hope for salvation, hope for healing, hope for finances, hope for wayward children, hope for a house to live in. It doesn't make any difference. You've got to know that God is the God of hope. I've got a series on that. I'm just going to recommend it to you because I'm out of time. It's called, the God of Hope. It's at the website. And there's another one there. Once you've got that one and you've really got that one down, that's the foundation scripture for it, the God of hope. There's another one, because I'm telling you, you can walk in faith and hope and do pretty good for a while, and then a season will come and you'll find yourself hopeless again. There's a companion series there called Resurrect Your Hope. The same way that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he can raise your hope from the dead. But you have to let him do it. I got to quit. Did y'all get anything out of that? Praise God.